Why don't we pray and then we will get started. As you can see, we have something a little different today. If you're looking at that thinking, this looks like a series. Yeah, it should be a series, but we're gonna run through it in the next 20 minutes or so. That was a lie. In the next 30 minutes or so. Okay. Let's pray and we'll go. God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that you have called us to be in community with yourself and to be your children and to help others know you. So God, I pray this morning that you, through your word, through your spirit, would guide us into all righteousness so that we would be able to live as Christ followers throughout this year. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So last week, we started out by saying that it's easy to confuse the mission of the church. It's easy to confuse the reason we're here and the reason we do this and everything else that we do as a family. It's easy to confuse the reason why we have a clothing giveaway or a food giveaway, or the reason why we get together during the week in different people's homes, or the reason why we talk about studying with other people, the reason why we get together on Sundays so early in the morning when it's so cold outside, the reason why we do everything we do. It's easy to confuse that and start thinking of church, kind of, we would never say it like this, but kind of like a social club. This is a group that I belong to, and I like this particular one because they do things the way that I like things to be done, the way I'm comfortable with things being done. It's easy to confuse church with a group of people who, good people who are saved and normal and, come to church every week. And as we look at Jesus' mission to his followers, that wasn't his definition of his community of followers. That wasn't what he was trying to build, a social club of good people who got together once a week. He was trying to build a group of people who were devoted to a mission, to his mission. Look at the very last thing that he says right before he goes back into heaven. And what's interesting is a version of this is in all of the Gospels and the book of Acts. This was important. So Jesus' last words, Matthew 28, we'll do 18 through 20. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, or as you go, as you live, as you're going, and make disciples of all nations." Disciples are followers of Jesus. Make other followers of Jesus, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you to the very end of the age. So Jesus said, you're actually, if you're going to follow me, you're supposed to be a group of people who make followers of me, who will make other followers of me, who will make other followers of me. And we looked at 2 Timothy 2:2, where Paul says to Timothy, it's supposed to be this chain of followers, making other followers, making other followers. That's what the life of a Christ follower is. It's helping other people follow Jesus and then helping them help other people follow Jesus. And we're supposed to be a community of people devoted to that mission. And so we ended last week, and if you remember, it was probably the least practical of all the messages that I've given here, because at the end, we didn't say, let's do this. We said, could you just decide that you will be devoted to that mission? Don't do anything. Don't change anything. Just decide that during this year, that is what I'm going to be devoted to. If you weren't devoted last year to that, well, say this year I'm going to be. If you were devoted last year, say, okay, I'm going to reenlist. I'm in again for another year. I'm going to be devoted to Jesus' mission of being a follower who will make other followers as I'm in community with Jesus' followers at this place. That's where, that was last week. Now this week what I want to do is go over with you how we do that. A very technical message, just it's not even really a message, it's not really preaching, it's just going over, okay, what is the strategy? How do we do that? If we're supposed to be a group of followers who are devoted to making other followers, as good or bad as that might sound, as lofty or unlofty as that sounds, like, just whatever, it's all theory. That's very, very much theory. How do we do that? What's the plan of action? What's the practical, okay, I do this, and then I do this, and then I do this, as I do that, I am a follower making other followers. How does that work? What's the strategy? We're going to talk about that today. And from the perspective of How did the New Testament churches do that? What was the strategy of the New Testament churches? How did they do it? How did they live? What were the things that were important to them? Because nothing has changed. Our buildings have changed. The externals have changed. But how we live as a community of followers who make other followers, the actual strategy, nothing has changed from the New Testament times. And in the New Testament, if we're going to go back to the New Testament church, they were a group of churches who started other churches. They connected many people with Jesus. They sent people out. They helped people follow Christ. And so we're going to look at what they did and base our strategy on that. And what we're going to do is just okay. Speaking practically, what is the strategy? We're going to blow through a bunch of things. I know that you're not going to grab all of it. That's why there's the handout. And what I want this to be for is not necessarily so that at the end we say, okay, I know all of that and I've gotten it all, but rather so that you can say, here is how I can be part of that. Here is how I can be part of that this year. Here's the part in my life. Yeah, I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing this. But wow, there's this big blind spot in my life. I'm not doing this. Or maybe as we talk about it today, the Spirit will press on you as we talk about one particular area and God will press on you and say, you need to do more in this area. And He'll press you forward to take a next step, to go forward and to be more devoted to Christ's mission in a particular area. So as we go through this, some of it you'll say, yeah, that's part of my life. Some of it you'll say, not as much part of my life. But here's what I want you to be listening for. Listen to the Spirit push on you and say, this is where you need to take another step forward. This is a blind spot in your life. This is an area where I'm not living out Jesus' strategy for being a community on mission. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to kind of peel the hood back and say, how is a church, this church, any church, supposed to work? And then how can you and I be part of that? And if you're listening this morning, you say, okay, I'm not even a Christian. I'm just investigating this. I'm not committed to this. I'm not part of this community. Well, here's the deal. Instead of becoming a Christian being kind of like a bait and switch where, do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? Want to go to heaven? You don't want to go to hell? Okay, well, come and get baptized. And then, oh, now that you're a Christian, see, this is what it means to live the rest of your life as a Christian. Today will be helpful for you because instead of that, you'll know better what it would mean for you when you actually make the decision to repent and be baptized and follow Jesus. You'll know a little bit better what it was going to mean for you for the rest of your life to follow Christ. And for those of us who already are Christians who have made that decision, what we're going to look at today is going to show us how we should be living together in order to accomplish Jesus' mission of being followers who make other followers. So there's three parts to how this should work, how we live out that mission. The first part is who we are. Second part is what we do. Third part is what we're building. Who we are, what we do, and what we're building. We start with who we are because, see, this is a pattern that Paul followed in all of his letters, and the other writers in the New Testament did as well. They never went to, here's what you should do. They always said, here's who you are in Christ. And what that always started with was the gospel. You are new in Christ. You're a new person in Christ. So instead of saying, you're supposed to be out telling people about Jesus, bad Christian, you're not talking about Jesus, it would always start with saying, listen, you are a new creation in Christ. God, the King of the universe, who you have rebelled against, and you deserve death for that. God sent His Son, and He saved you. He called you to Himself. He made you a new person. He adopted you into His family. He made you fully accepted in Christ, and you are a new creation. He loves you, and He's making you new every day. Look, just look at your life, and look back yesterday and the day before, and last month, and last year, and 5 years ago. See, He's making you new. He's changing you. You're a new person now. And then most of Paul's letters have a place in the middle where they switch. Now, live like a new person. So that's where we start by saying how we live out Jesus' mission is not by saying what we do, but rather who are we? We're God's children. We've been saved from condemnation, and we've been made acceptable to the Father through Christ. Paul says in Romans, look at Romans 1:16. Paul says that message, the good news of life in Christ, the gospel, is the power of God. Listen, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In order for us to have anything to give anyone else, we have to be firmly rooted in who we are. That's why that's what we always talk about, is who are we in Christ, or who can we be in Christ? We're God's children. We're beloved by the Father. We're new in Christ. The second part of who we are is we're made strong in God's Spirit. God puts His Spirit into His followers. This is Jesus' promise to His followers before He went back to heaven. Over and over again, He said, My Father is going to send the Spirit. So look at Acts 2, for example, or Acts 1, verse 8. One of the times, many times, this is one of the times when Jesus promised the Spirit. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He said, you're going to talk about me. You're going to make other followers who will make other followers, my paraphrase, but you're going to do it through the power of my Spirit. My Spirit will give you power, give you words to speak, give you the ability to talk about me and to help other people come, because He will draw them to me. And then throughout the New Testament, this is one of those themes that if you're not looking for it, you miss. But if you're looking for every reference to the Holy Spirit in for the epistles, for example, in the New Testament, it's all over the place. The power and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit was what gave them the confidence that they could change the world with Christ, because they have the Spirit. Like Paul said, the one who, because of the power within us, who through Him we can do abundantly more than all we could ask or imagine. The power of the Spirit is who we are. It's what we have. And because of that, we can connect other people to the Father and help other people. So that's who we are. We're new in Christ. We have the power of the Spirit. And that's kind of a foundation then for what we actually do, what we actually live out. So the next part is, after who we are, is what we do. And these aren't things that the programs a church has. If as we talk about this, if you're like, well, I don't think we have that program here. No, these aren't programs. These are what Christians do. These are things that Christians do. These are things, if you are a Christian and you live your life saying, well, I participate in the programs of my church, then you're going to miss out on the life-giving activities that the early church acted upon and were part of their lives, and the things that will actually give you power in your ministry and help you make other followers. And then if you look at your life and say, well, I'm not making other followers. No one's going to church with me. I'm not baptizing anybody. I'm not studying with anybody. And I don't even really feel like I'm changing. Well, if you're a Christian who only does the programs that the church has, as good as they are, and they are good, but listen, if that's what the definition of you being a Christian is, then you're going to miss out on living a life that actually fulfills Jesus' mission among the people in your world. So the things that we do are not programs. They're just things that we do all the time. It's 7 days a week. This is just what we do. Not because the church tells us to, but because we're God's children filled with His Spirit. The first one is, we live out a connection with God. What does that mean? Again, that sounds theoretical. We read the Bible, we pray, we fast, we sing, most of us by ourselves with the window up in the car. We stop when we park next to the person next to us at the stoplight, because otherwise we look crazy. But we sing to Jesus. We sing, we pray, we read, we fast. We take a day every so often, as the Spirit leads us to not eat and to seek deeper communion with the Father. We read the Bible, not just because we have to, not just in January because we have a new plan, a newversion.com that we started and we don't want to get behind in it, but we read the Bible every day, throughout the day, because this is our Father talking to us, until it's even more, it's more life-giving than even watching that show that we have to watch in the evening. This is our life. We talk to God before it gets to where, before we send the text to our friend, we're actually talking to Jesus, because He is He's a real person to us. We read, we pray, we sing, we fast, we live in connection with the Father. I think that's what Paul was talking about. Look at 1 Timothy 4 when he tells Timothy to practice godliness. And the metaphor he uses is working out. So he says working out is good. And if you know, if you work out, you know that that's something that you have to make yourself do. Like yesterday I worked out and it was fun. the day before, I had to make myself do it. It was just, you just practice it every day. Doesn't matter, rain or shine, you practice it. And he's saying, that's the way we practice this connection with God, reading the Bible, praying, fasting, singing. In the first Timothy 4, and yes, when I say singing, I'm not just saying singing when we're here together. I'm saying you, when you're in it, your heart's overflowing with joy, and you just sing to Jesus when you're by yourself and no one's going to think you're crazy. Or when you are just at the end of your rope and you don't know what to do and your kids are driving you crazy and you start singing to Jesus and the connection with the Father just brings peace into your heart. First Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. That kind of is with the last verse, so ignore that. Rather, train yourself for godliness. Train yourself for godliness. Train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training, that's the working out reference, is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Being connected with God is valuable, God, Jesus says, and it's not, or Paul says. And so we live as a community that lives in connection with the Father. The second thing that we do is we make other followers. Again, this isn't a program. This isn't an official, you're going to disciple him and you're going to disciple him. And no, it's a, just as people, it's kind of like part of our DNA. If we've really been changed by the gospel, if God's really united us with Christ, then we're going to be people who will talk about that. Just like when I got my iPad, I was so happy about it. I think I talked about it from the pulpit. I talked to everybody about it. I was a little evangelist for the, I loved it, still do. But, okay. The same way, if God is changing our lives and if God has changed our lives, and the more that we know that God has changed our lives, then just part of us is we're going to be talking about him. So we're going to want that person who works with us to know Jesus. So we're going to spend time with that person. And when they don't want to talk about Jesus, we're going to pray for them. Not you know, in a weird public, lay our hands on them and pray for them, even though if they don't want us to wait. But no, just in our head, we're going to pray for them every day. God, please save that person. Open their heart. Draw them to you. We're going to pray for them. We're going to spend time with them. We're going to be their friend. And we're going to be looking for the opportunity to, hey, could we study the Bible together? Could we talk about what it would mean to have peace with God? Could we study together? We're going to be helping other people who aren't Christians get closer to God. We're going to be making followers. And then we're going to help people who already are Christians. And if I said look around, it'd be weird, so don't. But in your mind, look around. Okay, that's people here, for the most part. Help other people get closer to Jesus. So maybe you think, okay, I'm going to help that person get closer to Jesus. Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's another lady or another guy at church. Okay, you help them get closer to Jesus. You encourage them. Maybe you formally sit down every week and read the Bible together and guide them through their faith. Or maybe they're not into that. So you just pray for them and informally say, hey, how you doing? And you're there for them, and you're their friend, and you help them get closer to the Father. We help people who aren't Christians and people who are Christians become followers of Christ. That's what God, Jesus is talking about in Matthew 28, the verse we read at the beginning. And the other thing that we do is we live as a family. We live as a family. We don't have... Yeah, we do. We'll read fast. Go to Acts 2. This is what the first church did. They lived together as a family. Acts 2:42. Listen to how they lived. This does not describe they went to church once a week and then lived their normal lives the rest of the week. They lived together as a family. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, hanging out together, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending in the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. We live as a family together, when we're devoted to Jesus' mission. We live as a family. Why? Because we are a family. We're made a family in Christ. And so as we make other followers, we're living together as a family. Is that like a small group? Well, it could be, but it's more than a small group. It's you saying, I'm not family. I don't live as a close-knit family with everybody in the congregation. But there's these four or five people, and we do life together. We hang out together. We eat in each other's homes once or twice a week. We're family. And in that, being family together, what did they do? Well, they talked about the gospel together. They helped each other get closer to Jesus. See, I don't know what your particular sins are, but when the people I'm in community with that are in my house, that I make coffee for, that we hang out together, and our wives are friends and our kids hang out, okay, those people, they know what my sins are. And I have a pretty good idea about what a lot of their sins are. And we're able to speak the gospel to each other because we don't just see each other on Sundays. We hang out together and we live life together as family. So on Jesus' mission, we do life together. And then the other thing is we're always focused on next steps. Just kind of as part of our culture, we're always focused on next steps. What is the next step? What is the next step? Because everybody always has a next step. As proof of that, look at Philippians 3. If Paul had a next step, everybody has a next step. Look at Philippians 3:13. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, towards the end of his life. So he's planted churches. He's written 70-75% of the New Testament. He is, if anyone has arrived, it's Paul. But look at what he says. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ. There's always something else that I need to do, that I need to make part of my life. There's a next step. So for some people, their next step has to do with their relationship with God. Maybe making the decision to be baptized and to repent and to become God's child. Maybe spending time reading the Bible. That there's some of us where that just isn't part of our daily routine of our life. Then maybe your next step is talking to God. Maybe your next step right now is more related to the family. You come on Sunday sometimes, but you disappear throughout the week. There's nobody here that you would say, I live as family with them. Maybe your next step is more related to making followers of Christ. There's no one in your life, if I said, who's the non-Christian you're praying for and you're spending time with and you're trying to find an opportunity to study with them? You say, no one. Well, but your next step is to say, God, who is the non-Christian you've put in my life that I'm supposed to be helping move towards becoming your follower? Or maybe if I were to say, who's the Christian that's in your life that you're supposed to be helping move towards God? And you're actively, as the Spirit opens doors, you're praying for them, you're helping them become a better Christ follower. You say, nobody really. Well, okay, ask God who that person is. That would be your next step. We always have a next step of the next thing God wants us to do. And so if we're going to keep moving forward like Paul did, we have to be a community where part of our culture is that expectation that there's always a next step. And we're supposed to guide each other towards our next steps as we live in community and as we make followers. So that's what we do. The last question, the last piece of this is, what are we building? So the stuff we do is what we do kind of individually. I'm responsible for making followers and living in as a family and my relationship with God and what's my next step and how am I helping you take your next step. I'm responsible for that. That's me. That's what I'm supposed to be doing every day. What are we building together? Where are we going? I mean, because you look around and say, well, we have a building. We have a decent service on Sunday. We've kind of arrived. We've gotten there. What are we building? See, when we look at the New Testament, they were building two things, and I think both of them apply to us. One, they were establishing the community. They weren't just doing church every week. They were establishing the community, the congregation. Look at Titus. I think this is a summary the pattern of Paul's work, the way Paul worked as he started churches, and it's summed up, I think this is a summary of it in verse 5 of Titus 1. So Paul's talking to Titus. Paul had started a church in Crete, and then he had moved on. And so listen to what he said. This is why I left you in Crete, that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Saying, okay. In all the little churches we started in every town, establish them now. Just because they're meeting on Sundays and they have family and they have community and they're baptizing people, it's not finished. We're still working on it. So establish those communities. Put everything in order. And as you see in the rest of the book, he's talking about doctrine. Give them a solid foundation of doctrine in the Word. And and establish leaders. So if you combine that with like his instructions to Timothy in 1 Timothy, he's saying, okay, put leaders in place, leaders of areas of work, so deacons, and leaders of the whole community, elders. Build that up. That's the expectation. That's what we're building together as we work together. And then the other thing that we're building is multiplication. Healthy communities multiply. We see that in the New Testament. They multiplied other Christ followers. So they, you know, in Acts 2, it was every day somebody was getting baptized. They multiplied other Christ followers. They multiplied other communities, little small communities. So in the church in Rome, when Paul wrote to the church in Rome in Romans 16, he writes and he talks to all these little churches that met in all these little people's houses. I don't know if they were little people or not. All these people's houses. These little tiny communities, people living as family together. So we multiply communities, and so people will raise up, and they're part of some of a little family, and all of a sudden it's like, you know what? I think I could lead a little family unit of three or four group people, three or four families. I could guide a small family unit. We multiply communities, and then we multiply congregations. That's what happened in Jerusalem and Antioch, for example. As they became established, Jerusalem sent people out to plant other churches kind of by force because of the persecution. Antioch did it on purpose. They set apart Paul and Barnabas and sent them out to plant other churches. Healthy churches, plant other congregations, whether it's in another part of the city for another like people group, another language group in the city, or whether it's in different places, different countries, other cities. So as we become an established congregation, that would be the expectation, is that we would multiply. There'd be little communities within our congregation multiplying, and there would be other congregations that we would be instrumental in planting. That's what we're building. So that's the whole strategy. Now, bring it back personal before we end. What are you going to do? I understand, as I was going through this, it took me a lot to get this ordered. So if you're kind of lost in all of there's this, okay, just leave all that behind. As you went through that, what was God telling you that is kind of the blind spot, the blind area in your walk with Him? Where's the part that's lacking in your walk with the Lord? What is the part of being devoted to Christ's mission that isn't part of your life? And maybe for you, it's joining Christ on His mission. And that's why we always talk about making the decision to follow Jesus, because when you repent and are baptized, you're deciding to join Jesus on His mission. And God will use you, after you make that decision, God will use you to help other people come to know Him. And so when you're ready to make that decision, tell one of the people here, you can repent, you can, there's water today, you can, there wasn't last week, you can repent, you can be baptized. If you've already made that decision, as we went through this, what was the part that you say, yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm not living as family. I need to start hanging out with more people from here, just not on Sundays, but throughout the week. Or I'm not really spending time with the Father. I'm not close to the Father. So how would I bring anyone else closer to Him? Yeah, exactly. Your next step is spending more time with the Father. Maybe for you, there isn't anybody that I'm focused on who's not a Christian or who is, and I'm helping them get closer to the Father. So God would say, okay, focus on the people in your life. Let me tell you who you're supposed to be focused on, who you're supposed to invest your life and your time and your prayers in. What is your next step? What do you need to do to be more fully devoted to Jesus' mission? Why don't we stand? Why don't we sing? We'll pray first, and then we'll sing. God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for calling us to yourself. Thank you for inviting us to be part of your mission to help other people follow you. And God, I pray that you would help make this very practical for each one of us, and you would tell each one of us one thing, one specific next step that you want us to take individually, so that each of us today, as we go into this new year, would take one step closer to being more fully devoted to you and your mission, and that you would use that as we do that together, God, that you would use that throughout this year to help us be a body of people, a group of people who help other people follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.